I guess I go up here. What is it that motivates you? What is it that makes you go forward? What is it that gets you up in the morning and keeps you going every day? Coffee. It's a good answer. We'll have to get together on that. My son, when we were a young family, we lived in a little town called Petaluma, up on the north, up in Sonoma County, kind of the North Bay area of California. Beautiful little place, okay? We lived on D Street. And we lived up at one end, the poor end of the street, okay? And you walk down, you could walk down about a half a mile down the street, and there was a little, I don't know if it was a Dairy Queen or a Foster Freeze, I don't remember, but a little place where we could get soft serve ice creams. And during this time, I'd go off to work, and I'd come home, you know, in the evening. And my son was about a year, maybe a little bit more, a little older than that. But I'd come home after working all day, and I'd grab my son. We'd put him on my shoulders, and we'd take off and walk down that street for the half a mile. My wife was pulling her hair out, you know, usually by that time, being with a screaming kid for all day and all that stuff. And we'd walk down there, and we'd get an ice cream cone, okay? And we'd share that ice cream cone. My son would, after a while, would get his own little ice cream cone, and he'd have that. Of course, it'd drip in my hair and everything as we're walking along. But, you know, one of the things that happened as a result was my son got to the point where he would do almost anything for ice cream, you know? He got to the point, he just enjoyed that so much that that's what we could use to help him, encourage him, to say it politely, to finish his meal at night, okay, to eat all of his dinner. We could use that ice cream, you know, to get a lot of things out of my son because it motivated him well and it caused him to go forward. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily motivation, but I know that there's something that provides direction, okay, for me. And God, I think, over time, talks to each one of us from his word in a different way. And every now and then, he'll pull out a scripture verse, a particular thought out of the scripture. Sometimes it's a theme. We see it all the way through in several books of the Bible. We see key things that unite it. Or sometimes it's just one verse that when you look at it and you start thinking about it, God takes that verse, speaks it into your heart, and just burns it there so that becomes a driving force in your life. Hopefully you brought your Bibles today, and I'd encourage you to take your Bible, turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and let's look together at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. This verse first came to me when I was in college, and I was studying a lot of different things, and this one verse came to me. And this is a particular theme that I see throughout the scriptures, but I like the way it's stated here, okay? I like the idea of what it says. Again, it's Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Now, I'm reading out of the New International Version. And we're going to look at that first. The author wrote, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Now, some of you may have another translation. You may have a King James. I believe it says, "And let us consider one another how we can provoke to love and good works." Okay? There are different translations of this. And I think it's good that we examine scriptures like this in a variety of translations because it provides a richness, a depth. How many of you here speak Greek? How many of you fluent in Hebrew? Okay, I'm not either. I've studied Greek, I've studied Hebrew, but I'm a long way from what you'd call fluent, okay? I can look and I can do some research and I can understand. Sometimes I might even be able to pronounce the words, okay? But the reality is I don't know those languages like I know English. And one of the things that you have in translations is sometimes one word in one language doesn't quite come across in the same way or straight across with the same word or a similar word in the other language that you're translating into. And you have a problem because there are connotations that come with words. There are thoughts and meanings and nuances that are back behind one word in one language, and you can't find quite the one single word that translates it and brings it over, okay? And so there's a translation called the Amplified Bible, all right? I like the Amplified Bible, but I'll tell you, it is a booger to read, okay? I don't know how many of you have ever read the Amplified Bible, but it's really somewhat frustrating because of all the parenthetical thoughts he has. He takes a word and then kind of puts an expounds upon that word, and you get lost, and you go through this part of the translation, and you go, now wait, where was I back here? Okay, and you got to catch up again. But the Amplified is really good because it helps bring across some of that meaning, some of the nuances of the word. And I'd like for us to look at that. I put it up on the board, or asked the guys to put it up on the thing here. I got to move this stuff. I move when walk when I talk. Some of you guys have already noticed that about me. I asked him to put it up there so that we could all read it together and understand what it says. In trying to convey the meaning, he brings across these thoughts. Now, in the NIV or in the King James, it says, "And let us consider." Okay, well, you know, what does that mean? Consider. You know, you read through it in a passing way, you just kind of take a quick glance at it. You don't quite get the full meaning. How many of you have been driving on the freeway? We drove from California to here for this weekend, you know, and you're on the freeway going 75, sometimes a little bit more, 75 miles an hour, okay, down that freeway. But you ever notice that whenever there's something happening off on the side of the road, you know, cars pulled over or something like that, everybody, you kind of slow down a little bit? Well, the reason is because you're kind of trying to take in all the stuff that's going on. When you get up into higher speeds, you can't grasp it all. You can't figure out everything that's going on. And you want to make sure you can react. So whenever you see something different, you slow down just a little bit, you know, so that you can make sure you're understanding what's happening. Okay? I was at a racetrack, the Ontario Motor Speedway. One of my friends took me there. I wouldn't be able to go there, but because he had connections, he got me in and took me there. And I'm down on the ground level at the pit where he was able to get me into, and watching these cars go across, you know, and they were going 200 miles an hour. Now these were the junior racers, okay? These were the slow guys, all right? And they're going 200 miles an hour. Can you imagine what would happen at 200 miles an hour? Okay, well, see, that's kind of what we have to do, is realize that so oftentimes when we're reading the scriptures or when we're interacting with people, we're going 200 miles an hour, okay? What's that expression, 100 miles an hour with your hair on fire, okay? And we're zooming across life when we're moving around, and all of a sudden what happens is we come across something that we need to stop and look at. Well, that's how it is in this verse, and I'd like us just to back away.